Grace and peace in the name of Jesus, the one we worship this holy day, the one in whom we have great joy. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson, Luke 7. Jesus talking about John the Baptist, ministering to John the Baptist. We pray, Lord, your word is a lamp for our feet, it's a light for our path. You indeed gave that light, that lamp to John in prison to lift his spirits and give him faith and joy. So give us your word today. Give us your peace and your joy and great faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. We've all heard that little jingle before or some version of it. It's the time of the year to be good. Don't pout. Don't shout. Don't cry. Don't whine. Time of the year to be good. Well, after hearing the gospel lesson today, we learn just how good we are. We who are baptized who are members of the kingdom of the King Jesus, we who are Christians that bear the name of Christ, we who believe, we realize, we learn from the gospel just how good we are. We're not just good, we are great. And we're not just great, we who sit here today, we are greater than John the Baptist. I am greater than John the Baptist. Now say that with me. I am greater than John the Baptist. Now how can piddly little me be greater than John the Baptist? This ought to give us great joy. It's not because we're better or we do better things. Nothing like that. We'll get to that in a moment. The Lord really lifts up our status and how privileged we are, how honored we are, and the position that we have in Him. The Lord says at the end of the gospel lesson, He's talking about John the Baptist. Among those born of women, there's none greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. What is the Lord talking about? Kind of a little mystery here in Advent. When we think about John the Baptist, he prepared the way for Jesus. He's the Advent prophet. Well, first of all, we need to say, primarily and above all, Jesus here is talking about himself. Jesus is the least in the kingdom who is greater than John the Baptist. As is often the case, the Lord is talking about himself primarily, and then secondarily, it applies to his church because we are the body of Christ. So it certainly applies to us in a way too. But first and foremost, he's talking about himself, and Jesus is saying here what he has come to do. He's come to be the least. Even though he's the greatest, he's God, he's come to be the least. So there's a lesson here about Jesus being the least, and how is Jesus the least? Because he became the lowest servant, he is saying. I'll go through a worse prison than John sits in, he's saying. I'll go through a prison of hell for all of you. He dies for us on the cross. He's the sacrifice for us. He becomes sin for us. He is the one that's cursed on the tree. He becomes the least in the kingdom, the lowest slave of death and misery, all for us. He's talking about that here and prophesying that. And so he is the least, and yet he's greater than John because he's God. And so he's greater than John. He mentions that John is the greatest born of women. That means being a human. But Jesus wasn't merely born of a woman, Mary. Jesus, more importantly, was begotten of the Father before all worlds, we just confessed in the Creed. He is God begotten of the Father before all worlds, and so he's greater than John, because he's God, and he can save the world, and John could never save anybody, let alone himself from a prison that Herod put him in. So it's a message about Christ, but it comes down to the church, you and I too, and how in the world are we who are baptized into Jesus, Christians, believers in Jesus, how then are we, people sitting here today, greater than John the Baptist? Let's ponder that for a little bit. Advent's a season of pondering, and really recognize and really rejoice in the status and the position that God's given us out of His grace. First of all, we're greater than John because we've been enabled by the grace of God to see more than John ever saw. We see more of what? Of Jesus. It's all connected to Jesus and how close we are to Jesus, because he's the one that makes us great. We don't make ourselves great. But think of John sitting there in prison. What did John see concerning Jesus? Well, he saw Jesus as a little boy, no doubt. They were cousins. John the Baptist was 6 months older, so they probably grew up and played as little boys, I would guess. John saw that. And John, above all, saw the baptism of Jesus because John baptized Jesus. He saw the great event of the heavens opening, the dove coming down, the Spirit, and the voice of the Father. This is my Son, with whom I'm well pleased with. John was a witness of that. That's all about John saw, though, from what we know from the Scriptures. So John stopped there and seeing the deeds of Jesus. And then John quickly was thrown in prison by Herod. And so John in prison, as we read, is kind of doubting, struggling. Is this really the guy? We've seen a whole bunch more. John soon gets his head cut off. He's beheaded. We see more of the fulfillment of God's promises. We see the end of the game. John stopped at halftime, if you will. We get to see the victory at the end of the game. We're greater because we get to see Holy Week. We get to behold in the Gospels Jesus on the donkey and the crowd shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And we see Monday, Thursday, when he gives the Lord's Supper. John didn't know about the Lord's Supper. We have it today. John never had it. We're greater in that sense. And we get to see Jesus betrayed by Judas and then arrested and put on trial before the Jews and the Romans. We get to see all that. Read all that. John didn't get to see any of that. And then we get to behold the death of the Son of God on the cross. The 6 hours. My God, why have you forsaken me? It is finished, he cried. John didn't get to see any of that. And we get to behold the resurrection on Easter. And we get to shout, he is risen. He is risen indeed, hallelujah. John never shouted that. And then we get to behold more, the ascension of Christ. And then the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the witness to the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles now, but John never saw any of that. So we see more of the fulfillment of the promises of God in Christ. And in that sense, we are greater. Jesus has to quote Isaiah to John, because that's all John knows is the Old Testament. And he quotes a prophecy from Isaiah of the lame walking, the blind receiving sight. We get to read the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have the epistles of Paul from Philippians today. We got the book of Revelation. 27 New Testament books we get to read. And behold, Christ and all that he is and all he's done for us. John stopped at halftime. Didn't get to see the end of the game. He believed in the end of the game, but this is how we're greater. Dear friends, realize how privileged we are to live today. We know the victory. We know the cross and the resurrection. We have communion. We have baptism and the renewal of it, confession of it. Never take these things for granted as if they don't matter. We are privileged and honored. Which is greater, kids, to have a present in your lap wrapped up or to open it up and see what it is? Duh, Pastor. It's much better to open up the present and see what it is, not just have it in my lap and wonder what it is, really. John had the present wrapped up, if you will. He didn't know everything about this Jesus. He knew enough to be saved, certainly. Didn't know everything. We've had him unwrapped in the Gospels, unwrapped in the resurrection, unwrapped at Pentecost with the gift of the Spirit. He's unwrapped our minds to behold it all. Secondly, we're greater than John in that we get to speak more of this Jesus to more people. John was a witness there in the Jordan River. And John, as far as we know, only spoke to Jews. He was a great prophet. But he had his localized ministry there at the Jordan River with Jewish people. And indeed, he baptized them, and no doubt by his preaching and baptism, many were saved, and we praise God for all of that. We can do more! We've seen the gospel be taken to the Gentiles. And we're part of the Gentiles that have been brought in. And we can take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to all nations, beyond the Jordan River and the little part of Galilee there, and beyond Knoxville in the United States. We can take it to the ends of the earth. And how we can speak of our Jesus to all people. In that sense, we're greater. Part of the worldwide mission of the church. John was just the beginning of it. I'm sure you have your Christmas list put together by now. Some of the things I mentioned to the kids is what I went on my list. Some of the articles mentioned there, I won't repeat them. I think it's time we Christians had a witness list at Christmas time. Don't just write down all the greedy things you want that you really don't need. Why not write down the names of people that you have influence, that you're around, that don't know Jesus, or you don't think they have much of a relationship with Jesus? And that's your witness list, people you're going to witness to. I'm going to invite them to church. I'm going to speak of Jesus to them. I'm going to pray for them endlessly, day and night, that God open their heart to hear, and that God would use me, perhaps, to be a witness to them. I'm going to make up a witness list of more than 5 people or 10, maybe 20, 30, 50 people. And I'm going to pray and pray on my knees that they be saved. And God use me. In that sense, we can be greater than John, if you will. Although it's all the Holy Spirit in us, isn't it? And last of all, we are greater than John in the sense that we have more assurance from God of salvation. We should have more certainty. When you read of John, he's doubting, it seems, in prison. Are you the one or somebody else coming? And when you read the Old Testament, you have a lot of doubt of God in the Old Testament. Abraham doubts God. He doubts he'll have a son. Sarah, his wife, doubts God. The people of Israel doubt God. Can God save us from Egypt? Can God open the Red Sea? Can God take care of us in the desert? Lots of doubt. Even Moses has a little bit of doubt in the burning bush. Who are you? What's your name? I don't know who you are. Job doubts God. The people, when they make it to the promised land, doubt God. They fall into idolatry. Can God help us? Can God save us from our enemies? Can God do it? And they doubt and they go astray to idols. Lots of doubt, and John's part of that doubt. Because they haven't seen the end of the game yet. They know the victory's coming, but they don't get to behold it yet. And so there's still some doubt. Is he really going to win? Are we going to win? Are we going to be delivered from sin, death, and all? Is it really going to happen? Or is it just words? We've seen the end. He died for your sins and my sins, the sins of the world. They're all paid for. They're all atoned for. We have peace with God. Peace on earth, the angels sing. He rose again on Easter. The enemy's been defeated. And so we have a greater assurance because we're at the end and he won. So of course we know he won because he won. And they're kind of in a little bit of no man's land, kind of still wondering. They're saved, but there's doubt. In the New Testament, then, after Jesus rises, he doesn't accept doubt. What's he say to doubting Thomas? Stop doubting! Thomas, how dare you doubt? And how is doubt now? Don't doubt. I died and rose. What else more do you want me to do for you? I've won the victory. You're going to be in heaven. You're forgiven. And there's really no room hardly for doubt anymore, although we doubt because we're sinners. But you have every assurance. We have holy baptism that Jesus gave, which is greater than the baptism of John the Baptist. We've been baptized in Jesus' name. We're God's children, our name's written in heaven. How can we doubt? We have the body and blood of Jesus here. We have the lamb right here. The lamb that John spoke about, we eat of that lamb today. His body, his blood for forgiveness. How can we doubt? We have the gospels. How can we doubt? We have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. How can we possibly doubt? And we have all this assurance that God's laid before us, the word and the sacraments that John really didn't all have yet because they weren't given yet. You know, when in our family, growing up, we made cookies. We decorated cookies. My brother Dave is the electrical engineer. He is the real detailed brother. And Dave loved to decorate the cookies to the greatest detail. You know, the red here, the green here, the white frosting, the sprinkles here, there, the little red hots. And he worked a lot of time decorating the cookie. And what was Paul's job? To eat the cookie. Who had the greater job? Well, thank you for spending an hour and a half on that cookie, Dave. I'll devour it in about 3 seconds. Thank you, though. You know, John prepared the feast. John was part of the decorating, if you were part of the preparation. We get to eat of the lamb. Partake of the gospel with our ears. Be washed in it in baptism. Eat and drink of it, the heavenly feast. We're more privileged because of timing. We're greater. Realize how great you are, friend, as a baptized Christian, all because of Christ. Not because you're so great yourself, but because of him who made you great. We're greater than John the Baptist, we who live these days and are baptized. With that, we say, rejoice in the Lord. Always again, I say, rejoice. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.